Eagles insider Dave Spadaro with Dan Graziano, who works for ESPN, covers the NFC East as well as the NFC and the NFL. And Dan, the NFC East is all about equal opportunity. Or is it parity, or is it mediocrity? What is it exactly?
It's been mediocrity for most of the past decade. I mean, the Cowboys went 12-4 a couple of years ago. But even when the Giants won the Super Bowl, you know, 4 or 5 years back, they were a 9-7 team that was 7-7 with 2 weeks to go. So the division's been down. I think you saw over a period of years a lot of the teams kind of let the offensive lines erode. The Cowboys have built that back up. Obviously now the Giants have done better at that in recent years. But the division's been down, and ideally it's on its way back up. These things are cyclical. I mean, we can remember a time very easily when the NFC West was, you know, everybody was sub 500, and now that's become a power division. So, but there's no question the NFC East has been kind of crazy in recent years, but the main reason is there hasn't been that elite team at the top that's dominated year in, year out.
So where do the Eagles, in your opinion, fit into the picture right now?
Well, I'm interested to see what Bradford has to offer. I mean, that, I think, is the huge key. He showed a lot, especially in the second half last year, and if he can continue to build on that and kind of play to his talent level as the former number one pick, everybody, and of course, stay healthy, then I think that says a lot about what they can do. I like what they've done this offseason in terms of identifying core players and locking them up, as opposed to going out and signing, you know, big-time free agents or expensive free agents. They figured out these are the guys that we want to build on for the long term. Let's keep them in-house. They jumped the market on some contracts before the salary cap explosion pushed the prices up on these guys, and I think that was smart. So, you know, continue to work on where they need to piece things together long term on the offensive line, and then we'll see what Doug Peterson has in terms of an offensive philosophy and how he can drive it forward.
With the way the Eagles approach the offseason, you talked about re-signing players. Then they trade DeMarco Murray,
yeah,
trade Kiko Alonso, trade Byron Maxwell. Were you surprised they were able to get rid of those contracts and those players?
I was. I mean, I think the Dolphins did them a lot of favors there with that one deal, especially considering the Eagles get to move up in the first round as a result. So, I mean, good for them for finding that opportunity. I mean, nothing against those players, but it obviously wasn't working out for DeMarco Murray in Philadelphia. He needed to go somewhere else. They look good at running back in spite of that. I mean, he was kind of a luxury signing anyway at the time. They already had Ryan Matthews kind of halfway in the door. So, you know, maybe this will allow them to sort of coalesce around a group that, you know, if DeMarco didn't want to be there, then you know, you have a group that does. And on defense, yeah, I mean, they have to get the Fletcher Cox deal done at some point, so they need to make sure they're not too bogged down with contracts, and the ability to get out of a couple ones they didn't like was important.
How big a deal is it to go from 13 in round 1 to 8?
Well, I think it's a big deal because when you talk to people about this draft, you hear a lot about how there are 9, maybe 10 players that are instant impact, high impact guys. So to be outside that top 9 or 10 is a big difference this year. So to move into 8, I have to believe that they have someone in mind when they make a move like that. Not that you can be sure you're going to get them at 8, but I'm curious to see who it is that they're targeting at that spot. But I do think in this particular draft, based on the scouts and the people I've talked to, that moving from 13 to 8 is a difference between getting a guy who might be a project cornerstone down the road versus somebody who might be able to make an immediate impact.
On defense, Jim Schwartz comes in. What do you know about Jim, and how much impact can he have?
Well, I know Jim went to Georgetown University. In my opinion, that indicates he's of extraordinary intelligence, and so I have high hopes for him as a fellow Hoya. I imagine he'll go to a 4-3. You know, that's what he's run in the past. And, you know, he has a lot of this kind of, you know, I remember, I don't think the wide nine is kind of like a favorite phrase of Eagles fans, but he runs something similar to that, so there'll be a lot of focus on, you know, speed off the edge and getting those edge rushers to the ball. But they brought in a few guys that have played for him before and that know how to speak his language. So I think he'll be an asset. I think when you have a coach like Doug Peterson who has an offensive background and who's never been a head coach before, it's important to have a strong defensive coordinator, and it helps if that defensive coordinator has head coach experience. Because as a head coach, you're going to be in uncharted waters a lot of your time, and maybe having somebody right next to you that can say, oh, yeah, by the way, you know, watch out on Thursdays. These are the kind of questions you're going to get from the media. You know, on Monday, this is the kind of thing you have to deal with regard to the league. So I think that's important to have guys around that have that head coaching experience.
Let's go back to quarterback. Do you believe that Sam Bradford will ever get back to being that elite prospect?
I mean, I think he can play at that level. I think he can play at high quality starter level in the NFL. The issue I've always had with Sam Bradford is, can you keep him healthy? And they were able to do that. I know he played banged up last year, but, you know, he got through the season. So I think that's an important, maybe that's an important psychological hurdle for him. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he goes back to being injured and he got all kinds of problems. But I think it was good that he got through the first season in Philly healthy, that he was productive, and I think that indicates that there is something there that can still happen for
him.
What
a bizarre thing. The Eagles ruled the NFC East in the 2000s, haven't won a playoff game since 2008. It's really, when you think about it, it's really shocking.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, again, you talk earlier about the parity. You know, change is something that brings on that those kinds of issues. I mean, they went so long without changing anything at the head coaching position, and that's so important in this league, that stability. And, you know, what Andy Reid was able to accomplish there, everybody knows. And not that it wasn't time for him to go, but now you have two changes in 3 years, and that makes things unsettled, and it's hard to – so I think what it tells Eagles fans is, looking back, that was a fun era. You know, even though they didn't cash it in, everybody knows they didn't cash it in with the Super Bowl title, but to dominate the NFC East, to be in the NFC Championship game every year, I mean, it's fun to be a fan of a team that does those things. And I think if you look back, you can appreciate now how good that was.
And lastly, Howie Roseman and his rise back to more significance with the football side of things. Your perspective on how he's done in the offseason?
Well, again, like we talked about earlier, I like that they identified their core players. These are the people we want to invest in. These are the players we believe in, we want to build on. And he went and got those deals done before it got to market, before other teams could bid on them. I think that was a smart move, identifying that there were going to be some really high-priced deals going around. You know, the Giants, for example, they signed the three giant contracts, you know, to the outside free agents. But they probably didn't. They looked at their roster and probably didn't find as many of those cornerstone type players that they wanted to invest in, just because they haven't hit the draft as well as the Eagles have. So the different ways to skin a cat. But I like what Howie did in terms of locking in those guys that he feels comfortable building the future on.